In 2010, Elena Kagan was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And at her confirmation hearings, Senator Lindsey Graham asked her a question about the 2009 Christmas bombings.
I'm assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States is...
No, I just asked you where you were at on Christmas.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
U.S. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. So why Chinese food? Hannah Raskin's a former food critic for the Seattle Weekly. She studied the Chinese-Jewish connection in the United States, and she told Marcy Silman where the relationship began.
It most likely originated in New York. Almost anything that is considered a Jewish cultural tradition now, an American Jewish cultural tradition, originated in New York and specifically on the Lower East Side, which is, your listeners likely know, abuts Chinatown. So it's a very convenient place for Jews and Chinese restaurants to come together.
So this all started because Jews lived near the Lower East Side, is near Chinatown in New York. But why would what Jews in New York City do spread to Jews all across the American continent? It's a pretty big place.
The reason is that more than 75% of Jews today can trace their ancestry to a very small part of the Lower East Side. So that's, and I always have to say that carefully here in Charleston, because we have plenty of folks who got here hundreds of years before many of our ancestors did. But the vast majority of American Jews have roots right there in that neighborhood. And so what was a New York tradition kind of by default became a Jewish tradition. Unlike, you know, Germans who settled in Milwaukee and in Philadelphia, you know, Jews were all in one place, so all New Yorkers did this, but only for the Jews did New York tradition become their ethnic culture.
So as the American Jewish diaspora spread out from New York, they took that tradition with them?
They did.
I understood that back in the sort of late 19th, early 20th century, when a lot of Eastern European Jews were flooding into New York, that Chinese food had a particular allure. What was that?
Yeah. So, I mean, a number of things. One, it was affordable, which made it appealing to a lot of immigrants, not just Jews. But it also was seen as being, it was just sort of the trendy thing to eat at that time. There was a whole tradition in the 1920s, and I guess tradition's not the word, it was really a trend. There was a habit in the 1920s of going, you know, quote-unquote slumming through Chinatown, where you would experience the so-called opium dens. And these tours would almost always end at a Chinese restaurant, and this, again, was the very stylish place to be at the time.
Was that particular to the Jewish population in New York, or was this just sort of the early 20th century hipster thing to do?
This was the hipster thing to do. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the modern analogy would be. It's, you know, if you go to a restaurant now, I guess, where the chef has been foraging, you know, it was sort of the same thing that, you know, you would go down and eat chop suey.
Chop suey, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Hannah Raskin. She's a food writer, and she's actually studied the connection between American Jews and Chinese food. Why else would Jews choose Chinese cuisine instead of, I don't know, some other kind of food?
Sure. I mean, right. If you think about, you know, New York at that time, they probably had access to all sorts of different foods. But there were a number of reasons that made Chinese food especially appealing. One of them is that there is sort of an affinity between the Cantonese cooking that was being presented and Jewish cooking. You have a lot of garlic, you have onions, you know, you have some chicken. So there are these culinary overlaps which are appealing. But even more so than that, what's nice about Chinese food is that it's typically served by Chinese people in Chinese restaurants. And it just like there's the old racist stereotype that, you know, Americans can't say they can't tell, you know, one Asian race from another. It kind of went both ways in that Chinese people among themselves would say, I can't tell one white person from another. And that was a great deal for Jews who were suffering, you know, incredible anti-Semitism at the time, that they could stroll into a Chinese restaurant and they were just another white person.
So nobody could mark them as you're Jewish,
exactly.
You're just another white person.
Yep.
Hannah, you talked about culinary overlaps between Cantonese food and Jewish food, and that I got to ask if Chinese food is actually kosher.
Right, great question. So it's clearly not kosher. There's a ton of pork in Chinese cooking as well as shellfish. But the nice thing about it, at least from the standpoint of someone who's trying to keep kosher, or at least doing the best that he or she can, is that there's very, very little dairy in Chinese food, and certainly not the kind of Chinese cooking that made its way over here first. So you can at least feel like you're not mixing milk and meat, because there's never going to be, you know, cheese on top of your chow mein. So that feels good to people who are raised in a kosher household. And it's also the parts that aren't, and this sounds silly, but, you know, the Jewish culture is really good at figuring their way, you know, around and through different laws. All of the offending ingredients are chopped up pretty small, so it could be bacon, or maybe it's just another piece of chicken.
What's flashing through my head are things like lobster Cantonese and little pork spare ribs, and none of those for kosher any possible holiday. So we're talking about the affinity between Jews and Chinese food. Where did Christmas and Chinese food and Jews come together?
Right. So, you know, again, there isn't, you know, I can't say it was like Christmas 1936 or anything like that, unfortunately. But what we do know is that Chinese restaurants traditionally are open on Christmas, which is big. They would be open on Sundays and open on Christmas when, you know, Christians would close up shop. So that the availability is big. But, you know, there are a lot of restaurants that are open on Christmas. A lot of hotels stay open on Christmas. And I think, you know, as we moved into more modern times, into the, you know, latter part of the 20th century, it really did become an opportunity to make an identity statement on a day that really belongs to 99% of the country and not to Jews. Here was this one chance to say, this is our culture and here's how we experience it.
Before you go to the movie, you stop at the Chinese restaurant.
Right, or after. Or
I have to ask Hannah Raskin, were you raised Jewish?
I was, yes.
And when you were living in Seattle, mm-hmm. as opposed to the East Coast, was there a particular Chinese restaurant that you would frequent on Christmas Day?
Absolutely. So I feel really strongly that the ultimate Christmas Day restaurant in Seattle is Tai Tung. Just because it really does track back to this period that we're talking about. I don't know if you know the whole history of the restaurant, but the founder came here because his older brother had inherited the family's restaurant in Chicago, and there wasn't much hope for him except to come to Seattle and replicate it here, there, right in Seattle. And so it really is this, it's really a throwback, as anyone who's been there knows, to kind of 1930s, 1940s Chicago chop suey joints.
Uh-huh, complete with egg foo young.
Absolutely, the whole thing.
What kind of food are you going to be eating on Christmas Day?
So this is exciting. I think I'm going to be in Atlanta for Christmas Day, and my husband and I have very different food tastes. Mine tend to be more adventurous than his, so I think we'll do a Cantonese lunch for him, and I can eat Szechuanese for dinner.
So double-barreled Chinese?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I'll be cooking Chinese food at home this Christmas.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, do you know that there aren't many Chinese restaurants open on Christmas Day?
This is a great point. I do know this. It's really changed in the last 10 or 20 years. They don't stay open the way they used to.
No, and that means that the ones here that are open have these gigantic lines at the door, as one of my Muslim coworkers said, you know, all those Christians are in the movie theaters on Christmas Day. They're supposed to stay home, not clog up my tradition.
That's exactly right.
Hannah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcy. Happy holidays.
You same to you.
Hannah Raskin's a former food critic for the Seattle Weekly. She's now based in Charleston, South Carolina. She was speaking there to Marcy Silman. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.